Pastor Allen became our senior pastor. And while each of these leaders, none of them has been perfect, just as Tim won't become perfect by becoming a pastor. But every one of them have had some things in common. And I knew them all really well. So I just thought I would share with you a couple of things that they had in common. One is they understood that what it means to be a pastor, the word minister in the Greek, is most closely related to the word servant in our common English language. It's almost like the idea of waiting tables or something. It's a servant. It's someone who knows that the position that you accept of leadership means a high calling to serve. And the men that have led this church have always understood that. They've also been people who love Jesus. And you want a pastor, believe me, you want a pastor who loves Jesus more than he loves you. And we have had that here. And we've had pastors who have stood on the foundation of Scripture. We have always had sound biblical teaching, committed to explaining the Word of God with clarity. And I'm very proud that Tim carries on that legacy of loving Jesus, of being a servant, and of standing on Scripture. He also has a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, and we love Tim. So I'm going to bring Alan up, and Alan's going to explain a little bit more about what it actually means in our denomination to be ordained.
Good morning. Man, I'm glad you guys are here. What a day. I am beyond stoked. So I'm going to try to contain myself as much as I possibly can, but we'll see. Throughout life, we all feel the need to find the spot where we fit in and contribute to society. Some are able to feel this need through athletics, some through the passions of their own heart, and some, unfortunately, never really are able to fill this spot for fear or lack of drive or just simply the circumstances which life has thrown at them. Throughout Scripture, we find random men and women who tried to fill these voids and spots in their lives only to find themselves being called away to something bigger than themselves. This calling was not due to a special feature regarding them or some special feat, but from the simple place of their willingness to follow what could not be seen. The evidence of those things which could not be seen stirred up a hope within them, which drove them further than they ever thought they could go. This again was not because they were special, but simply chosen by God to be used by him. Moses was called to do some amazing things from a burning bush while tending sheep because he had run for fear. David was called because of his heart, not because of skill or his looks. Esther was called simply because it was the right time and she was the right person. The disciples were called not because of their speaking abilities or financial prowess, but because Jesus chose to pour into lives who chose to follow him. Paul was fulfilling what he thought was God's plan for his life. However, God had a different plan when he called Paul. This one is a little different, as Paul already had a background full of knowledge and wisdom toward the law, which God used for his own gain to persuade men to live differently out from the law, to live in love and freedom through the bonds of Jesus' love, and not out of obligation or the law. God calls who he calls, uses who he uses, and has called all of us to follow him. Some will be called to more, but all for the same reward, which is eternity with God. Today is a special day as we, as Townsend Church, have been blessed with a family who has added much to our church. The Sparrow family has brought a great positive and exciting energy to our church family. They are almost tireless workers, involving themselves against our wishes in everything they can possibly get their hands dirty in. They not only do that here at our church, but are involved with outside organizations as well. This is a family who has truly tasted and truly seen just how good God truly is. There has been much to come against them since their full-time jump into ministry, giving them ample opportunities to stop serving. However, these setbacks were nothing more than forks in the road, forcing them to make the hard choice and move forward with the direction that they knew God was leading them. For a family to do this, there must be a team aspect between the husband and the wife. The children will soon follow if the parents are moving in this direction. The calling on a pastor's heart must be felt by the wife as well. Being on the same page with ministry and all that comes with it is vital to the success of not only the church, but also to the success of the family as well. Tim was very successfully managing a branch bank, or bank branch. God decided to disrupt this and lead him somewhere else where he was doing fine but completely unsatisfied. Even at the bank, as he began to experience God more and more, there was an unrest beginning to build. This unrest, unbeknownst to Tim, was the beginning of God calling him closer to himself. When life is totally disrupted, the only place for a believer to go is to the one who knows. Tim and Brandy did this and have experienced something spectacular. For some time, we've been working with Tim and watching him grow by leaps and bounds with bumps along the way, which he has allowed God to smooth out. We have patiently worked through the ordination process. This has been reviewed and discussed with Tim. Charlie and I, along with the deacons and Seth Baker, have all agreed it is time for Tim to be ordained. To be ordained is to simply decree what we are intending on doing and then making it happen. What is it then that we are decreeing or asking the church to be accepting of regarding Tim? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, it says this. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, the verdict is still out on the kids. That's because they're young. But otherwise, I believe we are good. The servant's heart modeled by Tim and Brandy is being slowly inherited by their children. Today is a day which Tim has been patiently waiting for, a day he has been preparing for, and a day which God has not only prepared him for, but his family as well. We have joked on and off throughout the years when people have called him Pastor Tim. We quietly laugh and look at each other and say, almost, but not quite. Tim, today, we can end that joke. And finally say, yes, you are Pastor Tim. And at this time, I would like to call Tim and Brandy to come up and join me on the stage. I want to call Sally, Chanice, and Charlie, Seth, and Danielle, and the deacons and their wives as well, if you would join me here, please. Hi. You can if you would like. Or you can stand with me, whichever you would rather stand with. That's much better. Yep. That's... Tim, as you stand before God in this congregation... Do you fully believe God is calling you to be a full-time pastor, to be used by God however he sees fit? Tim, as you stand before God in this congregation, will you strive to live out the qualifications Paul laid out for Timothy to the best of your ability? And Tim, as you stand before God in this congregation, will you strive to lead your family in the ways of the Lord through word and action? Good. So what we're going to do now is we're going to gather around you, we're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to pray for you and pray for your wife as we ordain you to be a full-time, legit pastor. This is awesome. God, this is absolutely super exciting for us. It's very overwhelming because we know what he's stepping into. Most would think that this is the job to have, but it is a job that is very difficult. Not because of the people that we work with, because the people we work with are great, but because of the enemy that stands on the other side. And God, they have experienced plenty already. But I know there will be more to come, both good and bad. But because of the decision today to continue in this full-time journey to serve you with all that they have, I am excited to know that you will be with them every step of the way. And Lord, as we lay our hands on Tim today, and we send him forth as a minister of the gospel of Christ, we ask in Jesus' name that you empower him to be the man of God that you are continuing to create him to be. That you protect him in his speech, in his actions, in his thoughts, and in his endeavors to go after you. That you would guide him clearly every step of the way, and that when he does not know, that he would be smart enough to be patient until he does. That you would empower him to have the wisdom to teach our children, to teach his own family, to lead each of us as well in the ways of you. Lord, I'm thankful for Brandy and the support that she provides to him. And Lord, I know that as we ordain Tim, that this is as much about her as well. I pray that you would give her the patience to watch her husband work hard, that you would help her to be the strength that he needs in times where he is weak, that you would allow her to be the encouragement when he finds none elsewhere. And God, thank you for the two of them and what they mean to our church. And I'm excited to finally be able to call him Pastor Tim. And God, we thank you for their lives. We thank you for what they are doing here. We thank you for your hand that is clearly on them. And we ask that you remain there as they continue to humbly follow you the best that they can. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you grab that clap? Love you.
That was really loud. So, Tim, it is with great honor and such a privilege to finally call you Pastor Tim. It has been an absolute joy to be a part of this journey, and I recognize the growth which has taken place in you has truly come from a submissive heart to desiring to do the will of God. We as a church and as a team recognize the hard work and dedication you give to this ministry, whether it's working with our children, planning great events for them, upward, or even furthering your education, which I believe you're almost done. And we appreciate you and are so proud to call you pastor. And with that said, we have a couple of gifts for you. Here's the first one. It's a plaque signifying that you are legit now. And then I have a couple of things I want to give you. Oops, sorry. So I want you to come on out here for me. So from time to time, this guy works ridiculously hard. He never takes a break, and he never does what I tell him to do ever when it comes to that. So he's going to have to do this now because Charlie and I and Sally pulled together, and we are sending you and your family away for a week. And we know how you love glitter, so we are sprinkling you with some glitter. And we got you your own personal bag of glitter, because we know you love it so much. And then while you're on vacation, the church pulled together, and here's a check for $1,000. Thank you. You can be seated. Appreciate it.
Yeah, there's a bunch of glitter up here now. That's fun. That's a proud moment. So every family has a story. And our church is more like a family than it's like a building, right? When you pull into the Wawa for gas, you don't care that the gas station has been there for 30 years. When you're part of a family, you want to be part of something that has stood the test of time. Something that has a legacy. And the story of our church family is the story of our members. It's the story of the people who have been part of this church. And we've had people come and go. And the story of our church family is a story that's sometimes a story of great joy and excitement and moments like this one that we are proud of and that we'll take pictures of and remember for a long time. And of course, every family also has stories that are sad and stories that are difficult. And the journey of our church over 30 years has had moments that have been difficult. As we talk about church membership, you know, there are a few people who have been members of this church since its very beginning. Les and Nancy Perry are here this morning, and they were here the very first day in 1989. Dave and Donna Lawson were here at the very beginning. Melissa, you were here at the very beginning. And in fact, yesterday, we had a funeral service in this room for Jay Schlink, who was here at the very beginning. And we've watched the story bring great hardship, because our lives are filled with hardship. But by being part of this family, we're connected to a Savior who doesn't leave us alone when we go through difficult things. And we give one another strength by being in this together. And we draw strength from the Spirit of God that lives within us. And so I want you to know that as we prepare now to do membership, we have some people who are going to come forward and join the church. It's a big deal to be part of this church. It's a big deal to be part of something that's lasting. Did you know that it was the members of this church that built the church? I don't mean like in a figurative general sense, but literally physically, when they were meeting over in the Blackbird Community Center, it was the church members who brought out saws and hammers and laid down floor joists and put up rafters and walls and built the church. The original church was that side of the building, and we met there for 6 or 7 years before we built this beautiful building and hung these delightful chandeliers in this room. Uh-huh. I love you too. But one thing I'll mention about that, when they built the building over there, they thought it would be a good idea. They measured as they were laying the foundation, and they knew where the stage was going to be, and they knew where the pulpit was going to be. And in the concrete, the foundation, they took and they laid a Bible in the concrete when they did that, so that whoever stood to the pulpit would be literally actually standing on the Word of God. I thought that was a really interesting, I would have never thought about that. Then when we built this building in 96, 97, they did the same thing. So every Sunday, when the man of God steps forward to open God's Word, he is standing right above Scripture in the very foundation of our building. And it's our church members who have made that foundation continue to be strong. So Pastor Charlie is going to come forward and explain a little bit more about membership and what we're doing here this morning. Here you go, Dad.
So as we're doing all this and we're really celebrating, I just feel impressed to say, if you've been part of a church where you've been hurt, where you've been felt rejected, felt excluded, where some bad things have happened, I would remind you that church is like families. And if you've ever been part of a family where you've been hurt, where things have been hard, I get it. And yet we can continue to move forward and celebrate. And that is a part of what we're doing here this morning. Membership is not exclusive. If you're here this morning and you're not interested in membership and all that, you are certainly welcome. So why would we do membership? Well, we want to get to know you. We want to be able to plug you in so you can be a part of what's going on here. We want to know and share with you what we believe the Bible teaches. Because newsflash, if everybody doesn't know, there are a lot of different churches. And some of them believe different things about doctrinal issues, about how baptism should take place, any number of things. So part of membership is being educated in what we believe here so that you can make a decision whether you want to be a member. So that if, say, you want to teach Sunday school and we say, well, I wonder what you believe. Well, I'm a member. Oh, okay then. We know that you've been through our teaching series, that you agree with what we believe should be taught to the children. So there are 5 points that we have developed. They have changed through the years, which churches do, depending on, you know, the emphasis and what the culture's doing. And we have 5 things that everyone who is a member has agreed to. And they are, I will actively participate in the activities of the church. If you're a member, we kind of would expect that you'll be here. I will live generously by giving of my time, talent, and treasure. That's the heart of God, and the heart of Jesus is giving, giving, and giving sacrificially and generously. I will use my spiritual gifts to serve the church and the world. This is not just about Townsend Church. We are part of the church, universal, around the world. I will strive to live a holy life. We could list any number of things there. We could make, yeah, it just popped into my mind when Janice and I were first saved, we were in a church. Part of church membership was, I will not go to bowling alleys. In a small town where that's where the trouble happened on the weekends, that was decided that that should be a part of it. Well, we're not going to list bowling alleys and all the other things that you might be interested in. But we do expect that if you're a member and if you see me doing something that you don't think is right, please come talk to me. I commit to being involved in healthy, God-honoring relationships with other Christian people. We are a family. We love our family. We want to spend time together. So we have some people who are going to come forward, and I would ask when your name is called, if you would just come up, and as people come up, I'll give the next name so that we can get everybody up. And if you'll come, Dawn, if you'll just start standing over on this side. We thought about down there, but I think I'd like you to come up here so people can see you. So we have Dawn Aguman. Janet and William Baxley. Don't see them. Unless they've got their invisibility cloaks on this morning. Olivia Deborah. John and Connie Gorman. Rosa Hall. Kathy and Mitchell Kogut. Jasmine Kuhnhau. Bob Taylor. Stephanie Taylor. And Carol Wagner. So, as a, they're keeping their distance from me like I did shower, and I... So what we do as a membership is we, these people wish to join, and we would like to, as an order of business, say, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the door's right there, no. All opposed. So welcome.
We have a beautiful church family.
Well, the celebration goes on. The next commitment that we are going to celebrate is about child dedication. And this is about parents who are committing that they're going to raise their families in the church, in Christ's family, as part of the family of God. Now, being dedicated as a child doesn't make you a Christian, but this is something that we do in our denomination because we celebrate the commitment of parents who say, I want to honor what I understand Scripture says to raise my child in a way that they know who God is, that we build a Christ-centered home. And this has been a place here in our church where we have seen families build legacies of faithfulness. In fact, we have several families that have raised four generations here in this church. I mentioned the Perrys earlier. Ted and Joan have raised their kids. I went to youth group with Stephanie. Paul and Stephanie's son Cole grew up here, and before he went to serve in the armed services like his daddy, he was raising his daughter here. And so there have been a number of families that have built a legacy of faithfulness, and we just believe so strongly that the thing that is going to make a family a successful family is having Christ right at the very center of it. And so we now recognize families who are saying that they want to add generations of faithfulness to their legacy. So Tim is going to come up. Pastor Sparrow is going to come up and do the child dedication.
I don't think that'll ever get old. That's awesome. I do want to say thank you. I love you guys so much. I love where I am. I love where God has me, and I love our church so much. So thank you for loving us and our family. We appreciate you. Yeah, so I'm going to invite the Ogundaris and the Hudsons to come on up on stage with me, please. And this is a very exciting time where families, as Seth just said, decide to dedicate their children and their families to the Lord. So we are excited to have them here. Brandy, come on up. You can help me out. What's up? Hi, Cooper. This is Timmy and Candy Hudson with their daughter, Harper, and their son, Cooper. And we also have the Ogundaris. This is, you ready for it? I seriously have practiced this name for a long time. This is Oluwatomilan. Yes. This is Faramine here, and Dad Kola, and Antonia. Yeah, so we are excited to have you guys here. Brandon, if you can come grab this stuff over here, that'd be great. So my friends, this is a happy and significant occasion which brings us together. Like Mary and Hannah of old, you have brought your child, children, to the house of God to present him or her to the Lord. You have heard the words of the Master, and he said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." The young life which you guys hold in your hands, arms, or standing on the floor, is both a mystery and a wonder. God has placed in your hearts a new and compelling sense of the dignity of life and the obligation of parenthood. The Scriptures give us examples of how godly parents dedicated their children to the Lord and his service. Hannah brought her child Samuel and dedicated him to God and the service of his house. Mary, the mother of Jesus, brought the child, according to the law of Moses, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. We are confident, therefore, of God's divine approval as this child is brought this day to be dedicated to his service. It is our duty as a Christian congregation to receive these children into the care of the church and to minister to them in every way possible. The Scripture says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you, in the heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart and shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when he or she is old, they will not depart from it. God has a purpose for your child's life. To find that purpose and to live it out fully will mean blessing. To refuse or ignore it may mean failure. It is your privilege and duty to guide your children in such a way to make the will of God the greatest ambition of their life. So, Candy and Timmy, Ogundaris, if you wouldn't mind repeating after me and just say, we do. Not repeat after me, just respond with, we do. Do you dedicate yourselves as parents to raise your children in the training and admonition of the Lord? Right. Do you promise to instruct them in the Bible and in the practice of prayer, to guide them in the development of a Christ-like character, and to diligently bring them to the services of the church where they will be taught the way of life? Great. And do you promise to try the best of your ability to shape the home life of your child by family devotions and by the words and your example, so that they will come to receive and confess Christ when old enough to understand and come into the fellowship and service of the church? Great. Church congregation, do you agree or do you promise to pray for these two wonderful families as they bring up their children in the name and the admonition of the Lord? Yes. Awesome. So, as Pastor Tim, just kidding. Yes, I dedicate you children to God and to the service of His kingdom in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have some gifts for you. This is just a card. This is a baptism for her. And this is for you guys, shepherding the child's heart.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations. Thank you. For me. Thank you. Beautiful girl. Congratulations. You're welcome. Thank you. Yeah, see you, buddy. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You guys can have a seat. Tell me. You got a Bible. That's awesome. Thank you.
My soul's deepest desire, hallelujah.
truth and the life. You are my joy and my salvation. You stood in my place, taking my shame upon your shoulders. Jesus, you are stronger, more than any other. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Jesus, you are higher, my soul's deepest desire. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Oh. What a Savior. Oh, you are Savior.
Amen. She's pretty good. Amen. Pretty awesome. Are you glad to be here today?
Amen.
Man, what a great day already. And we're not even done yet. Now you get to listen to me for an hour. Just kidding. Man, I am very overwhelmed by what God has done here. Just since I've been here and since 2005 and even the time before that I was here, what God was able to accomplish and prepare us for. It is exciting to be a part of Townsend Church these last few years. It's exciting to be not just a part of the church, but a part of what God truly has his hand in. And we get to be a small part of that. That's the cool part about all of this. And so we are talking about celebrating. And one of the things that I want to help us understand is the importance of our excitement. Because our excitement for Jesus moves people.
Amen.
You're still on.
Amen.
Dude, I know that you're newly minted as a pastor, but when the lead pastor is on the stage, you need to know your place. Just kidding. That's funny. That's awesome. But you know what's great even about that? Is we can laugh about that. We can be okay with that because it's not that big a deal. Because it's something that's exciting that's going on not only in our hearts but in our community as a church, and we're taking it out into our community. What's going to happen is as we are excited about what God is doing here, it's going to challenge people. It's going to move people. They're going to want to know what in the world is going on at Townsend Church. So I'm glad we're here celebrating. But you have a job that you go to all week long. You have neighbors that you go home to all week long. You have family members that may not come to church with you. Let that excitement just flow. Because the excitement is not about how amazing or awesome you are or I am. The excitement should be about how amazing our God truly is. How exciting and amazing Jesus is when he gets into our lives and he begins working and changing and doing the things that the Spirit of God can do. That is what we should be excited about. That is what is infectious to the people around us. That is what's going to draw people to himself. And it starts with us. And so in Zechariah 9:9, we find a passage of scripture that says this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." I bring that passage up because it is exactly what today we celebrate. Today is Palm Sunday. And Jesus even talked to his disciples in Matthew 21 and shared with them that, look, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go into town and I need you to get me a donkey. It's already there. Everything's set up. You just go get it and bring it to me. And here's why I'm telling you to do this, guys. And he quotes Zechariah 9:9. He says, I'm having you do this not because I can't walk in there, not because I really want to ride a donkey. It's because it was prophesied. And my whole responsibility, my job, my passion is to bring to life my father. And the things that my father said were going to happen, I'm going to carry them out because that's my job. I want to be a part of what my father is doing. And so they do that. The guys go in, they find the donkey exactly as he said it was. They bring it back. He hops on. They come in. And there's a great response from the crowd that is there. There's something special about his entrance this time than any other. And in the moment, they begin just going nuts. And here's what happens. A very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Now, this is my favorite suit. I'm not sure yet that I would lay it down for a donkey to walk on. But maybe in that moment, there was something infectious about the excitement that I would not care about myself anymore. That I would recognize the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords riding in, and I would let everything go. Maybe that is how we should live life moving forward. So they lay their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now those branches that they cut down were actually palm branches, which is why we call it Palm Sunday. Now they did that out of joy and celebration, out of happiness, out of victory. And most of the time when kings would come in or warriors would come in from conquering something, they would do that. That's how they would celebrate. But this time they are doing it for their king, or so they thought. Because Jesus did not come to be an earthly king, he came to be a heavenly king. But they had it in their mind and they were excited because now he's here. Now things are going to change and we want him to be here. And so we're going to celebrate. Which is why we have our celebration Sundays, because we get to celebrate the things that God is doing. Yes, we're a part of it. Yes, we make the decisions to go forward. But where does that come from? It comes from him. And when things happen that are completely beyond our power and our control, guess where that comes from? Him. And if we are not careful and we do not point back to him, all of the praise and all of the glory, we're going to find ourselves in a very tough spot. And so we see the reaction of the people. They just go nuts. They are so excited and they are ready to celebrate the fulfillment of prophecy that their king is finally here. In Matthew 21, it continues and it says, "And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. All the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" So get this, the entire city says, "Wait, what is going on? What is happening here?" I love it. Because they all were moved. Why were they moved? Because of the excitement of the people. The entire city caught the excitement that was going on, and they wanted to know what was happening. The same as when you go to work and you can talk about today with them tomorrow, hopefully that excitement is still brewing within you and it will be infectious to those around you. Your neighbors that you've been begging to come, those neighbors that you don't like. Hopefully when they see that Jesus is transforming your heart towards them, because we are to love them, they will see the change and something will happen within them and the excitement will catch on and they will want to come. And that's the question that's being asked. Who is this? Why are you so excited? Well, back in 1989, there were lots of things to be excited about. This was the time when Richard Atwood felt that it was time to build a church here in Townsend. And here are things that were happening in 1989. The Berlin Wall came down. George H. Bush, whether you like him or not, regardless, he was elected and he was voted in and installed in that January as the 41st president. For the you NBA fans, the Pistons beat the Lakers, which even now is not really saying a whole lot. The Oakland A's won the World Series. We haven't heard from them in forever. Now, this was special to me. The Nintendo Game Boy. That was a big deal. That was worth celebrating. That was worth getting excited about. Microsoft Office came out that year, and gas was 97 cents a gallon. Those were the days. But in 1989, Richard Atwood, as Seth alluded to earlier, decided to start a church as an offshoot of his church in Newcastle. And they started it as, the official name is, the Free Will Baptist Church of Townsend. We just go by Townsend Church now because that's way too much to say. So he came here, he got a group of people together, they bought some land, and they started with 42 charter members. That's a big deal. That's huge. to have the vision to say, you know what, this area needs a church. They need to hear about Jesus, and to leave the comfort of the church that he had and to come here in a place that he wasn't familiar with yet and just to start all over. And by the way, he ran both churches for a little while, back and forth, same Sunday. Preach up there, run down here and preach again. But you know what? He had an excitement. He had a passion for his Jesus, and he did not want to keep it just in Newcastle. He wanted to share it with as far-reaching as he possibly could be. That's big stuff. Over the last 30 years, we have two people here, Charlie and Janice, who I dearly love, have been here for the long haul, and they have fulfilled just about every possible role that they've been asked to do, from IT, which is Charlie's favorite, to trustee, to family counseling, to children's workers, to youth workers, to being the brains behind our outfit here and keeping us guys in line. Like, Janice probably has more responsibility than anybody and probably more of a headache than anybody with all that she has to deal with. But they've been here from pretty much the beginning. And they have watched the church grow and not grow and struggle and then be revived and thrive again. For the last 30 years, that's what's happened. That's what they've been a part of. And then Jay came 12 years after Richard and served for another 12 years and did some great and amazing things. He's the one that brought us the vision of Upward. In fact, if the truth be told, I told him no when he brought it to me. I said, ain't no way we're doing that. It's too much, too many. And then he got Tim, which Tim says no to nothing. And look what Tim has been able to do with it through the power of God. He has allowed it to be something that has helped define our church, to help grow our church. But ultimately, Tim has used that as a platform to absolutely promote the gospel of Christ. His excitement about Jesus and to tell families about it is infectious. That's what we've been doing over the last 30 years. It's good stuff. Now, there's lots of other things that have happened. Lots of tough stuff that have happened that have allowed us to grow and to be challenged. But a lot of great, other great things. But here's where we are today. Upward's absolutely blossomed. It's exploded. We're going into our ninth season, and we have just blown the numbers out. It is crazy and continues to grow every season. We're at 208 active members. Now, that may not mean a whole lot to you, but that's about half of our regular attendance on a Sunday, including children. That's a really good percentage. That's amazing. We are steady growing. I love the steady growth that we have. I love the steady growth in our numbers. I try not to pay attention to the numbers too much, but our finances are right where they need to be and growing. Our attendance numbers are right where I'm happy with, that are manageable. But you know what the best growth for me is? The spiritual growth of our church. The spiritual health of what is going on here. I love that. And it excites the snot out of me. It makes me so excited to be able to talk about people and invite people to a place that I feel comfortable inviting them to. That's what excites me. Then we had J.D. Willits come in for a time. And that pivotal time that J.D. was here, can't even tell you how important that was for our church. It turned the tide of the spiritual direction of Townsend Church. And we will always recognize J.D. for that because God used him in a great and mighty way. But here's the thing. J.D. was willing to be used, but you as a church was willing to hear from God and do something with what you heard. That is vital and important and should be exciting to you. And then the family atmosphere that we have. I know that some of you are here and you don't really care for the second service, and some of you don't like getting up early to come to the first service, but you came together as a church family this morning and we have worshiped together. And I don't know about you, but I have absolutely loved that. It has been so good. And so when people ask, what should our response be? Why are you so excited? Why are you so passionate about Townsend Church? What's so special about it? It's Jesus. When people were asked, why are you so excited about this man riding in? Why are you going nuts? Why are you laying your clothes on the ground and cutting down the palm trees and putting them on the ground so he can get in here? Why are you screaming Hosanna in the highest? Why are you saying all that? And they're like, don't you know? It's Jesus. Have you not heard about Jesus and what he does and what he's able to do? He heals people. He speaks truth into their lives. He gives them life and energy. And he's loving and he's kind and he's gentle. I'm excited because of Jesus. Do you know why I got so excited about Tim? Because I know what Jesus is doing in his heart and in his life. He can't hide that. He can't hide much anyway, but he definitely can't hide that. When the excitement of Jesus gets a hold of you, you can't help but let it out. And let me tell you something, church. If you want your church to continue to grow, you got to take this excitement that we're experiencing today and get it out there. Take it to your neighbors, take it to your coworkers, take it to your families, take it to the streets, take it wherever you want to go. But the reality is, don't be excited about Townsend Church. Be excited about what God is doing in Townsend Church. Because that is what is most important. And I'm telling you right now, your excitement is what's going to drive the growth for Christ's cause. I'm not just talking about the growth for our church. I'm talking about the growth of the global church. God's church. Your excitement about what God is doing within you, I promise you, will move people if you will express it. As the praise team comes, I'm going to ask those that are being baptized to go ahead and make their way back to their respective spots. And I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to sing a song, have some announcements, collect the offering. But then we're going to end with a proper celebration by watching and celebrating people making a public profession of faith by being baptized today. So here's, at the end of the service, when we're all done baptizing, I am very okay with you erupting. Because that is worth celebrating. People making a decision to follow Christ, that is important. Let me pray for you this morning. God, I love you. I am so excited about what you have going on here at Townsend Church, and I count it a privilege to be just a small part of that. Lord, I am thankful for all my friends here. I'm thankful for the people that truly want to be here and grow and be challenged and to spread your gospel. Lord, I ask that as we continue to celebrate, that the celebration be completely focused on the one reason that it should be, and that is you. Lord, when people ask why we're so passionate, why we're so excited, why is your church doing so well? Why is Upward going so well? God, help us to be so quick to say, it's Jesus. It is Him who does through us what we are able to do. God, I appreciate so much just the opportunity to celebrate today. May you continue to gain all the glory for each and every aspect. We love you, praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
As our ushers come forward to receive our tithes and offerings, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father God, you are our living hope. Lord, what reason do we have for hope but not for you? And with your hope, God, it surpasses every other thing that we could ever put our hope in. And so, Lord, we are just delighted to join with those throughout the ages who have lifted up your name in song and glorified you and praised you. And if we had palm branches, we'd wave them. And we just love you, Lord. We exalt your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. And we're going to collect our offering and do our announcements now, and then we'll go into baptism. I do want to say briefly why we do offerings. Because why we do offerings is a little bit different than what we do with the offerings, right? So what we do with the offerings is we, you know, pay the electric bill, the expenses of the church. The offerings go to programs like the IF gathering and Upward and all the things that we love to be a part of. But doing those things is not the reason that we collect offering, right? The reason that we collect offering is because Christ is Lord of our finances like he's Lord of everything else. And we give to him as a way of saying, God, you are first place in our lives. And so in faithfulness and obedience to his command to live generously, we give. And then the church does the things that we do to continue to grow and do outreach. So anyway, sorry. Announcements. We have a lot of exciting announcements that I want you to be aware of. Immediately following this service, and it is not raining, we are heading over to the egg hunt at Coleman's Tree Farm. There's a lot of exciting stuff going on over there. We're very grateful to Jack and Debbie who continue to open up and allow us to host that event over there. Go early and get parking. I will just tell you, okay, Facebook, social media now lets you track, like, engagement, like how many people are seeing your posts and interacting with stuff. Normally, our normal church stuff reaches between 500 and 1,000 views is kind of what people see. The egg hunt this morning was at about 34,000 views. So we're expecting a big time over there. So we should have almost an egg for everybody. No, it's a great event, and it's one of the things that I love about our church is that we are an outreach-minded church. We continue to do things to engage the community. So Coleman's Tree Farm, right after this, head to Odessa. There will be lunch there available for sale. It's part of a fundraiser that we're doing that's going to help us. Go ahead, Bill. Raise money. We are planting a well. We're doing a royal celebration on May 4th. Ice cream sales today are going to support this clean water project as part of Samaritan's Purse. And the Townsend Fire Company is going to be there. It's a way for us to support them through the lunch sales that they're going to be doing. It'll be a great event today. Next week, of course, is Easter. And that means that Good Friday is coming up Friday night. Good Friday always falls on a Friday. And this year, it's on the 19th. It's at 6:30 p.m. You know that if you've been here before, it's a special service that we do. So you want to be here. It's a serious service. It's more of a reflective, somber kind of reflection of the death of Christ, which we recognize on Good Friday. And then Sunday morning is Easter Sunday. We're doing three services. So today, we just have one. Next week, we're doing three. So there will be a sunrise service at 5:30, an 8:30, a 10:30, breakfast at 9. No Sunday school. If you're a regular attender and you're willing, the overflow parking, we would love just to kind of use that so we can keep the main parking area open for visitors and guests. And of course, if you have like mobility issues and need to use the close parking spot, of course, please continue to do that. All right, and then just want to let you know about one other thing, moving a little bit further forward, is we are doing a service trip. You heard me mention earlier, we're a church that loves to serve because we have leaders who love to serve. So contact Kevin Vandervoort, and he can give you some more information about a service trip that we're doing to High Point Camp the weekend of April 26th and 27th. You can sign up online or on the church app. And all the announcements, all the information is also on the church app. So now we are celebrating baptism. And as we celebrate baptism, what we're really doing here is we're celebrating individual commitments that people have made to say, yes, I have decided I want to follow Christ. Christ is Lord of my life. And now this is an opportunity to declare that publicly, to come before the church. And we follow the teaching of Jesus, who said, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them. And so we have always been a church that does baptisms. We're blessed to have a baptismal right here in our church building. We haven't always. Les Perry was telling me that when Jay Schlink was baptized back before, a long time ago, he was baptized in the Lawson swimming pool. So thank you guys for opening that up. That would have been probably almost 30 years ago. Baptism is an important way of publicly declaring the Lordship of Christ. So I'm now going to hand it over to Reverend Sparrow.
Have you guys had a great day so far? Yeah. Man, oh man. Praise God for all the awesome things that are going on here at Townsend Church. So, our first person that's coming down, we have the wonderful Savannah Poorman. She giggles when she's nervous. You got to wave to everybody.
No.
So Savannah Poorman has a really tremendous testimony. We as a church family didn't know Savannah a year ago. And what Savannah did, she was friends and still is friends with Ashley Hurd. And Ashley talked her into her. Savannah actually, God laid it on her heart to go on a mission trip. So when we went down to with YFC and partnered with them and worked down at North Carolina last year, we picked Savannah up along the way because she was visiting her family down in North Carolina. And that was the first time that we had a chance and were blessed to meet Savannah. Savannah since then and since that experience has been on fire for the Lord. So she knew Christ, but since this last year, she has really gotten to know Jesus. So this is a rededication of her life to Jesus Christ. So Savannah... This is awesome. You sure? Don't laugh underwater. I don't know.
Sorry.
Savannah, because of your proclamation of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'll now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yay! Yeah. Woohoo! Her laugh is so contagious, and we love it. And now we have Candace, or Candy Hudson, who's making her way up. Candy, you just saw, she and her husband Timmy dedicated their children to the Lord today. So Candy was actually... I think the water's a little cold. It's not bad. So Candy, actually, her and Timmy were married in this church. How long ago?
Ten
years ago. Yeah. So that's history of the church, right? Yeah. Yeah. So she left for a little bit, and then she and Timmy and the family have found their way back. They're heavily involved in our Upward program. So Candy, this past Christmas, dedicated her life to the Lord, said yes to Jesus, and she and her family want to just follow Christ for the remainder of their lives. So this is Candy's way of saying, hey, church family, I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, so please pray for Candy. So Candy, because of your proclamation of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'll now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now we have, this is exciting, three kids, which I'm so excited about, and all the same family, which is super exciting. Yes. Come on up. Come on up. You sure? All right. So the first one, this is the Duke family. That's okay. You're good. You can do it. Do it for Jesus. So Anna Duke, she is a very, very special young lady. In Children's Church, she is that kid that is focused. She is honed in on what Jesus is speaking to her. She asks a ton of questions. She reads her Bible, I understand, very often from her family. She is just a kid that loves Jesus. So what's cool about this story is New Year's Eve, right? New Year's Eve, Steve and Stephanie, their parents, were sitting down with the three of them. And that evening, to bring in the new year, the three children said yes to Jesus to make him their Lord and Savior. So, Anna Duke, go ahead and put your hand over your nose. Because of your proclamation of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now Anna's older sister, Corinne Duke, is coming on up. So it's so funny how kids can be brought up in the same household. So Corinne is kind of reserved, where Anna's like the bubbly, hey, Anna's here. And Corinne's like, don't look at me, I'm not here. But it's cool that both of them, they're individuals, but both of them love Jesus. And again, on December 31st, Corinne said, hey, God, I'm ready. Come be the Lord of my life. So, Corinne, because of your proclamation of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now the older brother. This is Landon Duke. Face that way. So Landon is a real special kid. Landon's story is awesome. He's just a fantastic kid, very respectful. We've hung out with Landon a lot. What's cool is the last year he's actually had an opportunity to hang out with Pastor Allen a lot. So not too sure about that, those meetings, but just joking. So Pastor Allen has been able to pour into him and love on him through it. So his parents, I can't say enough about them. They're doing their best to follow Christ with everything that they have. They're leading their kids just so that they know who Jesus Christ is and the love. So what's cool about Landon is he excels in sports, but that's not what's special about Landon. Landon loves the Lord, and he's a good, wholesome kid that is a light for Jesus wherever he goes. So Landon, because of your proclamation of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, next is Connie. So many of you know Jen and Kevin Vandervoort. This couple are Jen's mom and dad, who have recently relocated. They are now Delawareans, which is so exciting. So this is Miss Connie. All right. So speaking with the Garmins, they have known Jesus for the past, they said, ever since Jen was a baby, which is a really long time ago. So where is she? Don't throw anything. So 40 plus years. Oh, she's right there. Oh, gosh. So 40 plus years, they have known Jesus, and they have recently become members of Townsend Church. And part of being a member of Townsend Church, we believe in full submission of baptism. So this is her way of saying, I'm all in. I know Jesus, I love Jesus, I want to be a part of this church, I love this church. So Connie, because of your proclamation of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'll now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. Next, making his way down is John. This is, well, Connie's the better half. This is just John. So John, same kind of story. has known Jesus for an awful long time. This is a rededication, understanding of the full submersion of baptism and believers' baptism. So, John, we are happy to have you first and foremost as a part of our, not first and foremost, first and foremost as a part of the family of Jesus Christ, but we are also happy to have you a part of our family here at Townsend Church. So, John, because of your proclamation and Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I now baptize you my brother, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I want you guys to understand the importance of what just happened. These individuals just said yes. Well, not just, but they have said yes to Jesus and secured themselves a place in heaven. Amen to that. Amen. Thank you, brother. Congratulations. Is this you? You're welcome.
All right. Well, just a couple of quick just factual items to correct. One is... the Baker family actually has been here for 28 years, so the church has been here 30 years, but we came in 91, so we weren't here at the very beginning. And then the other item I wanted to correct is that had we been there at the triumphal entry, we would have happily put your favorite suit in front of the donkey and let him walk on it. So just want to make sure the lead pastor was clear on that one. So, hey, listen, this has been a fun day, and here's what I hope that you walk away from today, is if you walk away from here going, hey, this is a really great church, that's okay, that's cool. But if you walk around away from here saying, man, that is a really great God that is showing up and doing some amazing things in this community, that's so much better. Because while we're excited to celebrate 30 years, the fact of the matter is that we are part of Christ's church, which is 2,000 years old. And so I kind of get this sense that God looks down and goes, oh, 30 years. That's cute. Good job, guys. You did it. It's a good start, right? But it's kind of like when you go to a baby's first birthday party and they grab that handful of cake and moosh it into their face. You know what I'm talking about? It's really more of a celebration of the parents who have raised that child for the first year. And what we're celebrating is our parent who has raised us and given us a good foundation to start from to see what we can do to make a difference in this community in the years ahead. You know, this story that we are here celebrating, the story of Townsend Church, is only worth celebrating because it's part of his story. And we've spent the whole year kind of going through parts of God's story. And it's been a lot of fun going through Scripture all year, from Genesis all the way up to where we are now in Matthew. And we are carrying on that story that started thousands of years ago, thousands of years before Christ. And so what we're celebrating here is his story. It's nice that our story is reflective of that. It's part of that. We are so excited with what God's doing here. But it's not because of us. It's because of him. And members built this church, but our members are still building this church. Where we go from here is where you take us. We have strong leadership continuing to be committed to standing on the Word of God, literally, and also loving the Word of God. Of loving Jesus, of serving the community, of understanding that to lead in Christ's kingdom means to serve. But we will be the church that you build. We will be the church that through the power of God's Spirit, you create us to be. And I love our legacy. The story that we get to be a part of here for the last 30 years. I am more excited to see with the next 10, 20, 30, 50, 60, 100 years, if Jesus waits to return, will look like, and what God's Spirit will continue to do through you, through a people who love Scripture, who love Jesus, who are committed to prayer, and who love coming together to celebrate, to be encouraged and to go out and live our lives in a way that changes our community and our families. God bless you. Thank you so much for your attention this morning. I know it's been a long service. I have had so much fun in church today, and I will look forward to seeing you over at the egg hunt in just a little bit. God bless you. You're dismissed.